repetition. Thus, all the universes remain thousands of eons. Is it eons or aeons? Thus, all the universes remain thousands of eons within the water and the causal ocean. And the Lord of the living beings, entering in each of them, caused them to be fully animated. Please repeat. Thus, all the universes remain thousands of eons within the water, the causal ocean. And the Lord of the living beings, entering in each of them, caused them to be fully animated. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is described here as the Jiva because He is the leader of all other Jivas, living entities. In the Vedas, He is described as the Nitya, the leader of all other Nityas. The Lord's relation with the living entities is like that of the father with the son. The sons and the father are qualitatively equal, but the father is never the son, nor is the son ever the father who begets. So, as described above, the Lord as Garbhodakshay Vishnu or Hiranyagarbha Supersoul enters into each and every universe and causes it to be animated by begetting the living entities within the womb of the material nature, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14.3. After each annihilation of the material creation, all the living entities are merged within the body of the Lord, and after creation, they are again impregnated within the material energy. In material existence, therefore, the material energy is seemingly the mother of the living entities, and the Lord is the father. When, however, the animation takes place, the living entities revive their own natural activities under the spell of time and energy, and thus the varieties of living beings are manifested. The Lord, therefore, is ultimately the cause of all animation in the material nature. So this chapter is entitled as the cause of all causes, and the devotees know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes, and that understanding is not a blind or sentimental belief, but it is a fact, it is a science, and that has been described in this chapter, that how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the cause of everything. He is not only the cause of the material creation, but He is also the cause of the spiritual nature. And this material nature is a manifestation, is a reflection of the spiritual nature. So here it has been described like how the Lord creates the material creation, and in this shloka, it has been said that after the Lord creates the universes remain dormant for long, long time. For thousands and thousands of years, those universes remain in the causal ocean. And then the Lord, as the Garbhodakshay Vishnu, enters into each and every universe. And when He enters into the universe, then the universe becomes manifest. Universe becomes animate. It's like universe is the body and Lord is the soul of the body. Like we have our body, and the body may be inactive. Body, after all, this body is matter. So as a matter, this body is inactive. This body does not have the ability to act on its own. But when the soul enters into the body, then the body becomes active. And when the soul leaves the body, then the body becomes dead. So the same way, the body of the universe is actually inactive. It cannot become active by itself. And it has been described here that for a long, long time, the universe remains inactive till the time the Lord enters into the universe. And when the Lord enters into the universe, then the universe becomes manifest. Generally, the creation has been described as the Lord glances towards the material nature, Maya, and through his glance, all the living entities, all the outgoing living entities, they come into the material nature. And they actually agitate the material nature. The Lord's glance agitates the material nature, and the living entities that come through the glance of the Lord becomes active in the material nature according to their past desires. The living entities have a desire to lord over the material nature, and as soon as they come in contact with the material nature, that desire becomes manifest. That desire, which was in a dormant state before, becomes manifest, and according to his desire, he tries to exploit the material nature. And it has been described that the living entity, as soon as it comes in contact with the material nature, he develops the desire to lord over the material nature, which is unnatural for him. Like a living entity, in his constitutional position, is the servant of the Lord, and under no circumstances he is the master of the nature. A living entity under no circumstances can be the master of anything. His constitutional position is that he is the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But coming in contact with the material nature, the living entity begins to think that he is the master. And that is the cause of his false ego. That covers him with false ego. Gives him the first covering of Maya, first covering of material nature in the form of false ego. Like this can further be described as Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying, Krishna bhuli shei jeev anadi bohir mukh atoeb maya tare dai samsar dukh. When the living entity forgets Krishna and he projects his consciousness externally, then immediately Maya grabs him and starts to inflict all kinds of miseries unto him. Krishna bohir mukh hoya bhogoban chakare nikatastho maya tare japotiya dhare. As soon as the living entity desires to enjoy without Krishna, then immediately Maya catches. And this has been analyzed or described as a living entity can project his consciousness either towards Krishna or away from Krishna. Now, when the living entity projects his consciousness towards Krishna, or when the living entity is Krishna conscious, then he remains in Krishna's internal energy, the spiritual nature. But when the living entity projects his consciousness away from Krishna, then away from Krishna actually means towards Krishna's external energy. Because everything is Krishna. If it is not towards Krishna, then if it is not in Krishna's internal potency, then our consciousness is projected onto Krishna's external potency. And this external potency has been described as inferior by nature. Aparaya mitastannam prakritim vidhi me param. Apara, this material nature or external energy of Krishna is inferior. But jiva bhutang mahabaho, but the jivas are coming from the superior nature of the Lord. We, the living entities, are coming from Krishna's superior energy, but this material nature is inferior. Now, it is the natural tendency of the superior to dominate over the inferior. So, as soon as the living entity, Jaya Shri Gaur Nitai. So, as soon as the living entity comes in contact with the inferior material nature, he naturally develops the desire to lord over the material nature. Because as I said, that it's the natural tendency of the superior to dominate over the inferior. But constitutionally, he cannot actually dominate. A living entity is dominated by the Lord, and under no circumstances he cannot become the Lord. But he tries to, he wants to dominate over this material nature. So that causes him to wrongly identify himself. Ego actually means identity. So he forgets his real identity and develops a misconception about his identity. He develops a false identity. Instead of becoming the servant, he tries to become the master. So that is what causes the living entity to become covered over by the first material element, false ego. And then the living entity begins to plan how he is going to enjoy the material nature. And that gives him the second covering of intelligence. And then his consciousness flows towards the direction of material nature through the mind. So this is how with the mind, intelligence and false ego, he develops a subtle body. These are actually three subtle coverings of the jiva, the spirit soul, and that is the cause of the subtle body. But he is not satisfied simply with the subtle body. With our mind, we may desire so many things, but in our mind we cannot be satisfied, because the accomplishment of fulfilling our desires are not complete in the mind or in the subtle body. So the living entity is awarded a gross body made of the five gross elements of material nature, and that is this, our gross body. So this way a living entity becomes entangled in the material nature with these two kinds of bondages, two kinds of covering, gross covering and the subtle covering. And this is how the living entity becomes entangled or bound in the material nature. So these are the outgoing living entities. The living entities, those who wanted to enjoy the material nature, they are projected into the womb of material nature by the glance of Krishna. Krishna glances, and then the living entities fall into the material nature. This, and then further it has been described that the universe is created like, first Karanadakshay Vishnu lies on the ocean, on the causal ocean, and as he breathes, the bubbles from his breathing causes the universe. Each bubble that is produced out of the breathing of the Lord causes the universe. And that way there are innumerable universes. The Lord breathes through his nose and mouth, and also he breathes through the pores of his body. Every single pore of his body also breathes, and from that also universes are produced. So that way there are different dimensions of there are different sizes of universes. Some are small, some are big, as you have seen in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Brahma came, or in, also in Bhagavatam, when Brahma came, Brahma wondered Brahma came to see Krishna, and then Krishna wanted to know, and when the doorkeeper reported to Krishna that Brahma has come, so Krishna wanted to know which Brahma. So Brahma was quite surprised, what Krishna is saying, which Brahma? And then Krishna, who is the Antarjami, who is the super soul, he could understand Brahma's heart, so he wanted to show Brahma his opulence. So he called all different Brahmas from different universes. So when Brahma came to see Krishna in Dwarka, he saw there are many, many other Brahmas. Some had 8 heads, some had 16 heads, some had 64 heads, some had 100 heads, 1,000 heads, millions heads. So, and Brahma got quite bewildered. He was very surprised. He was wondering. Then he realized that, my God, there are so many different Brahmas. And then he understood that according to the size of the Brahmanda, according to the size of the universe, the Brahmas have heads. Like, he was actually the smallest of all Brahmas. He had only 4 heads. And he was thinking himself to be so big. So this way we can see that there are innumerable universes, and their sizes also differ. There are some universes that are inconceivable. Like, we can well imagine if there is a Brahma with million heads, so the size of that Brahmanda must be at least 250,000 times bigger than our universe. So this way we can see that how inconceivable Krishna's creation is. And this material creation is simply designed for the living entities, those who wanted to enjoy without Krishna. It's actually a crime to enjoy without Krishna. But Krishna is our father, and the way the father is always merciful to his children, the same way Krishna is very merciful towards us, very compassionate. So when, like naughty children, when we want to enjoy without Krishna, then Krishna makes arrangements that we get a chance to enjoy without him. But that is simply to realize that there is no enjoyment without Krishna. And that's why Krishna makes this arrangement of material creation. In the spiritual nature, it is impossible to enjoy without Krishna. Because spiritual nature is the nature of absolute reality. So there is no room for falsity. But our desire to enjoy without Krishna is actually wrong. It's a false desire, wrong desire. So in the spiritual nature, that desire can never be fulfilled. So that's why Krishna makes an arrangement outside the spiritual nature. It's not exactly outside the spiritual nature. Krishna actually covers over a part of the spiritual sky with the 8 layers of Maya, and the living entities are put into that area where the absolute truth cannot enter. Brahma, Jyoti, is the absolute truth, absolute knowledge. But that absolute knowledge cannot enter into this portion of the material creation, which is covered by the 8 layers of Maya. And in that nature, in our ignorance, we begin to think that we are the Lord, and we forget that actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so being bewildered, we get a chance to enjoy, or at least try to enjoy, without Krishna. But as we try to enjoy without Krishna, as we try to exploit this material nature, what happens? We become more and more miserable. So this arrangement has been made by Krishna so that we can understand that our actual business is to go back to Krishna. It is like the father, sometimes when the naughty child wants something, the father gives it to him. But allows him to get that simply so that the child can realize that it is simply causing him pain. Like sometimes a child wants to do something, and the father says, no, don't do that. But the child doesn't listen. Then the father says, okay, go ahead and do it. And the child does it, and then he gets hurt. And then he realizes once and for all that it is actually wrong to try to do that. So the same way, Krishna is actually giving us a chance to enjoy without him, simply so that we can realize that there is no enjoyment without him. But our inner craving is for enjoyment. Everyone is actually desirous to enjoy. Starting from an ant up to Brahma, everyone wants to enjoy. And the anandam, or enjoyment, is the natural phenomena for the living entity. Now, the living entities are always wanting enjoyment. It's our constitutional position, anandam. So, but we are looking for enjoyment in the material nature, but we do not get the enjoyment here. So ultimately, if we are intelligent enough, we'll realize that there is no enjoyment in the material nature. And then when we become eager to know, when we become eager to know where exactly we can get the enjoyment, then by the mercy of Krishna, and then by the mercy of Guru, we get to know about the spiritual nature, and we get to know the process of going back to the spiritual nature. We get to know, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we get to know that the spiritual nature is the nature of enjoyment, and the way to go back to the spiritual nature is devotional service. And the means of attaining that enjoyment is the love of Godhead. So that is the sum and substance of the entire Vedic conclusion. Sambandho, Obhidheyo and Prayojan. That Mahaprabhu summarized. Sambandho means our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual nature. And to re-establish that relationship, the process of re-establishing that relationship is called Obhidheyo, or means. And that is devotional service. How we can become related to Krishna, how we can go back to Godhead, simply by rendering devotional service. And why should we go back to Godhead? What is the need? What is the necessity? Prayojan, and that is prem, love of Godhead, which is the source of joy. So if we all are looking for enjoyment, if we all are eager to become joyful, then how can we become joyful? Simply by loving Krishna. And the process is devotional service. And by means of devotional service, we can re-establish our lost relationship with Krishna. So ultimately everything boils down to that point, that we must be related to Krishna through devotional service. Everything boils down to that point, that we must be related to Krishna through devotional service. We are in the material nature, and scientifically we can understand what this material nature is. It is simply an arrangement by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to give a living entity, to give the rebellious living entities a chance to fulfill his desire, or rather fulfill their desires to enjoy without him. But the more the living entity tries to enjoy, the more he suffers by the arrangement of Maya. In the material, every living entity wants to enjoy, but in the material nature, the more he tries to enjoy, the more miserable he becomes. So that is what the illusion is. We want enjoyment, but we end up becoming miserable. So if we really want to enjoy, then we have to go back to Godhead by rendering devotional service unto him.
Well, I mean, to begin with, I mean, their conception is wrong, right? So we cannot really cater to their misconception, because as they're naturally very much concerned about a harmonious existence in the material nature, but that's not possible, because matter and spirit are diametrically opposite, and spirit's existence in the material nature is actually a struggle. So we are constantly struggling for existence, right? To maintain the harmony in the material nature is a struggle. And as long as we are able to do that, we are in kind of harmony. Like when the body is young, when the body is full of vitality, the body can carry the burden of the spirit can carry the burden of the body, it's all right. But when the body becomes weak, then when we lose the ability to struggle to keep ourselves, to keep the body going, then you see we automatically become miserable, right? So actually the problem with that is they want to maintain their eternal youth, right? They want to maintain their vitality and life energy all the time, and they think, and the problem is that they are seeking for immortality through the body, which is not possible. But actually we all are immortal. But we have to understand what actually is immortal. Myself is immortal, not this body, because body is perishable. Matter means perishable. Matter means transient. So matter cannot become eternal. Now one may survive or one may maintain his body for a long, long time. That is one thing. But ultimately, he has to succumb to the laws of material nature. So we cannot possibly actually compromise by any chance, you know. Like that's why we have to make them understand that it's not possible. You have to realize that you have a harmonious existence. That is in the spiritual platform. So if you really want to survive or exist in complete or absolute harmony, you have to go back to the spiritual nature. Or you have to be situated on the spiritual platform. Like actually we have stopped the struggle to a great extent. At least reduce the struggle to a great extent. Like the way we are struggling as karmis, we are not struggling like that anymore. Unless we struggle, we are in greater harmony with the nature. As devotees, I mean, we are actually in perfect harmony with the nature, because we do not really care what happens in the material nature, because we know that whatever is happening in the material nature is just transient. It is not permanent, it is not temporary. If we are suffering, the suffering is also temporary. And if we are enjoying, that enjoyment is also temporary. But beyond this platform of enjoyment and suffering, there is an absolute platform. That is the platform of supreme bliss. So our goal is to transcend this material nature and enter into that platform. It's a very nice question. You see, time moves in greater dimension. Time moves in the form of kalpa, right? Or what will be the kalpa? Say, for the jugas, you see, like the way there is morning, afternoon, evening. Mention, time moves in the form of kalpa, right? Or what will be the kalpa? Say, for the jugas, you see, like the way there is morning, afternoon, evening. The same way in greater dimension, time moves in the form of, you see, satta, treta, dapar, kali, right? In that cycle. And then, this thousand such jugas, these four jugas, are called one Dibba Juga, right? And thousands such Dibba Juga make one day of Brahma, right? And then in the same length is the night of Brahma. Now, this is how the time is moving. Now, the living entities are coming and going, like from kalpa to kalpa. It's not that only in our life and death, our existence is not only in between our birth and death, right? Our life goes on even after death, right? Now we have to understand that in some previous kalpa, in some previous era, Narad Muni was the son of a maid servant where he served the sages. And then when another era began, another time began, another creation started, then Narad Muni was born as the son of Brahma. Right? Any other question? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.